Are we rolling?
Yes.
You're listening to TV Tangents, a retro TV podcast.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Natalie.
How are you?
I'm good. Today we're talking about the Monkees TV show. And the Monkees was an NBC sitcom that aired from September 12th, 1966 to March 15th, 1968. Two seasons.
And we, of course, started watching these episodes in the 80s mm-hmm. during the reruns. Both of us were not alive from 66 to 68. So
they were on three times a day on Nickelodeon.
Oh.
I do remember because during the summertime, you could watch them at like 9 a.m. And then my friend Christy and I would wait to watch them like sometime in the afternoon. And then they were on in the evening.
Interesting. I do remember the evening for sure. So, and again, I was very young. My brain might be skewed as to exactly what time it was on or we watch it. And then I wonder, too, were we recording those on the VCR? Because I think we might have been.
We had a beta. I wasn't allowed to just record things all willy-nilly. So if you're not familiar with the Monkees, it's a show about four young men living together while trying to be a successful rock band.
The band that became the Monkees, it was the TV show that started it. They just auditioned to be on a TV show about people in a band.
Right. And when I was a kid, I used to play the Monkees with my neighborhood friends. So obviously, I wasn't the only one. Like, I wasn't some 12-year-old freak who was watching the Monkees, because my neighborhood friends were watching the Monkees too. A couple of them, I might have made them watch it.
Yeah.
But we did play Monkees. I thought, like, in my mind, I thought that these really were four guys mm-hmm. who happened to know each other and formed a band.
Right.
Even though they're the four least likely people to be hanging out with each other. Like, there's no way.
Yes. And before I knew anything about it, I thought the same thing. The premise was the TV show. I thought they built a TV show around a band.
Right.
And that's kind of, I think, what we thought, because mm-hmm. when we started watching it, you know, and then their music was played throughout the episodes, and we were kind of like, oh, this is a great band. And mm-hmm. right away, my sister, you know, we would want to get the little cassette tapes and everything, so we wanted to hear all their music. So,
and plus, when you're 12, TV's kind of reality a little bit.
It really is.
So, yeah. The show did win two Emmys in 1967. Bob Rafelson and Burt Schneider were the originators of this show. They formed Raybert Productions, and they wanted to get something on TV. They liked The Beatles' A Hard Day's Night, and many people have compared it to Hard Day's Night because it really is. That's what was going on at that time.
Yeah.
Was the Beatles were making a huge splash mm-hmm. all over the world. And why not capitalize on that?
Yeah. And I think the Monkees got a bad rap because of that, though. They're mm-hmm. like, oh, they're trying to be the Beatles. And that was put on them when, again, we know the premise now that they weren't even trying to be a band. But it was like the same thing. It was a boy band. It was four guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, very similar. And it's, you know, the names, how, you know, the Beatles is not spelled like the bug, and the Monkees isn't actually spelled like the animal. So it was so similar that everyone probably who didn't know history was like, oh, that's, you know, they're trying to copy them. So let's automatically hate them.
Everyone is copying someone at some time. Everybody's trying to be someone.
Yeah.
Elvis, the originator of rock and roll, mm-hmm. was trying to be someone else. He was trying to be the blues guys and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just that the Monkees kind of struck a nerve in people where mm-hmm. they started, I think, to see that that's what was going on, and they didn't like it.
Yeah.
But it didn't, I mean, they were accused of being inauthentic,
mm-hmm.
but they were still authentic.
Right. And to this day, there are people, we both know this, there are people who are like, well, they didn't play their own instruments. And, you know, people that don't know a lot because they're not fans of the band, all they ever heard was, oh, well, those were guys on a TV show and they didn't play their own songs. This was somebody else. Somebody else was the band. Most people don't realize then they became a mm-hmm. band, and then all of them had musical backgrounds. And
people who are saying that are repeating something that they heard someone else say.
Exactly.
Because as the guys themselves have said, there were session musicians for everyone.
Right.
Obviously, Elvis didn't play every instrument on his album, mm-hmm. and obviously you know, the mamas and the papas couldn't have done everything they did with just four people.
Yeah.
Everyone had session musicians. Uh-huh. The thing with the Monkees was that their stuff was recorded for them before they even got to the studio.
Yeah.
Only their voices were recorded. That was for their first album because they wanted to get this going, this project going, so that they could get them on TV. They could have albums and everything because they were making something commercial,
right,
purposely.
Right.
And the Monkees didn't like that.
No.
It's not like they were like, oh, yes, we're going to be millionaires and ride on the backs of other people.
Yeah, we'll just sing these songs and pretend we're playing instruments. This will be great. No, they
went
hated
in.
It. Yeah.
They went in and they didn't like that all of a sudden there's this music that they're supposed to sing over.
Mm-hmm.
And but a lot of those session musicians and writers were being used by all the other popular bands.
Yeah.
But none of those bands stood out like this because they didn't have a TV show.
Exactly. That's what I think where they got so much attention, and that's what amplified those rumors. And for us, we're very protective. And so, yeah, just over the years. And it's just funny that people don't understand a lot about the band, don't know a lot. I mean, I even had a friend ask me a few years ago something, and we were talking about, I think we were going to see a show, and it might have been Mickey and Peter, I believe is what it was. And this friend of mine was like, well, who sings the songs now that Davey's passed?
Oh.
And I was like, what are you talking about?
What
sings Davey songs?
Right.
And she's like, well, who's the lead singer now?
What?
There is no, I was like, okay,
I'm
confused.
It's a four-man band.
I know, I was like, I'm so confused by this.
There's no lead singer of the Beatles.
Right, so I was like, that doesn't even make any sense, because people like that, though, who are very, like, don't know anything, who, again, will be like, oh, I've heard I'm a Believer and Daydream Believer.
Okay.
The end.
Okay.
You know, so you're like, okay, but that's actually two different people, so did you not understand that there's more than one singer? So, yeah, it gets frustrating because, and we are so passionate about it, but it's funny to hear everybody's perspective.
You know,
the
there's
band.
Also two people in Wham.
Exactly. Exactly. Who's the lead singer?
So, basically, the idea that they came up with was, what if the Beatles were an American band and nobody had heard of them?
Yeah.
And they had to go around trying to get jobs. They all live together on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They're always trying to get jobs so they can make rent, so Mr. Babbitt doesn't come pounding on the door. And sometimes it goes well for them and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes they fall in love. Bert Schneider, one of the creators, his dad was Abraham Schneider. And he was the president of Columbia Pictures. And so that's how Bert came to work at Columbia's TV division. And it was called Screen Gems. And so basically the Monkees was like a practice project for them.
Yeah.
And it just happened to do better than they thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
And it got really big, really fast. And things went crazy as they do, as they have for lots of different bands.
Yeah.
So Bob and Bert got tired of doing the show. They were ready to move on to movies and other projects. In 1969, they released Easy Rider and then Five Easy Pieces in 1970, which was really what that was their goal all along, was to be in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So they were done with the Monkees.
Yeah.
They did a movie. They did Head, which I like the movie.
I like the movie too. And
it wasn't well received because most of their audience was kids.
Right.
Who weren't old enough to even see the movie.
Yeah.
Because it was rated R.
To see it or understand it. And yeah, there's a lot.
Or whatever the equivalent of rated R was.
And I guess, I think we saw it when I was younger, of course. And some things you just don't understand when you're a kid.
Probably if I saw Head when I was 12, I would have hated it.
Yeah.
It
wasn't super young. We probably watched it way later on when I was older.
I think I saw it when I was like 19 or 20.
Mm, yeah.
I saw it as an adult, but as a kid, I think it would have like ruined my perception of the Monkees because I saw them as these funny, innocent, fun guys.
Happy-go-lucky, living life, living, you know,
almost
like the dream, you know, that is like they're on their own. They're trying to make ends meet. They're playing in a band, which is what they love to do.
Dreamy beach house.
And that's how we saw them. I mean, that's how I fell in love with them. They were all just so, like, you know, that's the group of guys I was introduced to, because the first thing I ever saw was the TV show.
And in Head, they were having a makeout contest. Mm-hmm. They were questioning, you know, life and politics, and yep. they were boxing and fighting.
And it's interesting how it's really like, you know, most people say it was kind of like killing them off, and mm-hmm. that was what the movie was meant to do. And but it really, yeah, I mean, they were ending the TV show. That happened. The band pretty much broke up, you know, piece by piece as each of the guys kind of left to do their own thing. And then, you know, lucky for us, in 86, they decided to reunionize.
Together. We are going to take a break and listen to some fun music.
Mary, Mary, where are you going?
Mary Mary, covered by That's Mind awesome. Grape. Go buy it on Amazon. I jam out to it in my car all the time.
That was so cool.
Turn it up really loud. Amazon, it's 99 cents on Amazon. It's marked explicit, which is not correct because it's not explicit. They didn't add any words into it, so just ignore that. Maybe Amazon doesn't like clear thinking.
I guess not. That's bizarre.
But go check it out. Mind Grape. Mary Mary, it's an awesome cover. It is my favorite cover of a Monkees song of all times because, nice. Let's be honest, I'm not really into a lot of Monkees covers because, you know, we're very critical.
We are very critical.
But this one is really good and it's really jamming.
That's awesome.
So let's talk about the cast of the Monkees.
Oh, okay.
Do you know about these guys?
I'm trying to think. Let's see. Who played Mike Nesmith?
Okay. So Mike Nesmith was played by a guy named Robert Michael Nesmith. He was from Texas. And his mother, I bet you didn't know this.
I don't know. I feel like there's something famous that happened
there. And first of all, let me tell you how many times in a year someone tells me this information. Like, it's the only information they know other than, did you know they don't play their own instruments?
Yes. I've also gotten this bit of information that you're about to reveal wrong from someone
absolutely.
Before. Did you know that she
did you know
copy
that
paper?
So-and-so did so-and-so such and such's mom? Mike Nesmith's mom, Bette Nesmith Graham, invented liquid paper. the correction fluid that you use, you know.
Whiteout.
Yeah. You use it now on like faxes and things, but at the time it was for typing because she was a secretary and she would type and make a mistake. And she needed to correct that. So she used white paint.
Which is amazing. I used to use that a lot back in the day before it became computerized. Yeah. And
you brush it on, you paint your fingernails with it in school, you sniff it a little bit.
I even had, my first job, we even had to write reports out. You know, it was a little bit like law enforcement-esque. And we had to write out reports and they had to be handwritten and you had to print them out. So you're writing a report. We used whiteout a lot. And then funny story about that is, you know, side note that then we were told like, oh, you can't use whiteout because it'll look like you're hiding something. So you have to draw an X through it. Mm-hmm. And so somebody can see what you did write. I'm like, oh, very bizarre. But yeah, whiteout was huge when we were younger.
In my job, there are instances where you're not allowed to use it because, you know, then it looks like you are trying to change something.
You know.
So that was Bette Nesmith. Is it Bette or Betty?
I always thought it was Betty, but it's spelled B E T T E, right?
I don't know.
I think that's how it's spelled.
But let's call him and ask him. Let's call Mike.
I think we should. Mike, if you're listening, please call in.
Please call.
You know, or call us.
Call me. Just email us, tvtangents@gmail.com. He started, Michael started his musical career under the name Michael Blessing.
Yes.
And he spent a lot of time trying to get into the music business. He was a very folksy kind of country style. Mm-hmm. He wrote a very famous song for the Stone Ponies called Different Drum.
Different Drum. I literally, I'm like staring at you thinking, your face, what's like, the name of the song?
I did not prepare you for
Different Drum. I knew it too as you were saying it. I'm like, no, it's Different Drum.
You do know it.
I do.
Because you know every word of it.
I do.
So he wrote Different Drum and he sold it to the Stone Ponies, which was Linda Ronstadt's band at that time. He did also one time do a cute little rendition of it on the Monkees show.
Yes.
Which is
He sang it really super fast. Adorable.
Yeah. Billy Ray Hofstetter. He was pretending to be Billy Ray Hofstetter and he sang a very fast version of it. And every time I hear the Linda Ronstadt version on the radio, I sing the Mike Nesmith version because she changed the gender of the song.
Yeah.
And I always sing it the way that the Lord meant it to be.
And I have heard her version of it multiple times with other people. And I just to freak people out, I'm like, oh, Mike Nesmith. And then they're like, what?
He wrote it.
I'm like, this song. Mike, and they're like, this is a woman, this is, you know, and I'm like, never mind. I'm not even going to try to explain it.
Let's not even start. Did you know that his mom invented liquid paper?
I didn't.
Oh, please don't ever say that to me. Okay, another member of the Monkees was a man born with the name George Michael Dolenz.
Ah.
His father was actor George Dolenz, and his mother was actress Janelle Johnson. He, however, went by Mickey Dolenz.
Mickey Dolenz.
Mickey was the star of Circus Boy in the 1950s. He was a little blonde boy. He wasn't so really. Cute. His mom dyed his hair. And he had a sidekick that was a baby elephant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he went by the name Mickey Braddock. He changed the spelling of his name a couple times. So even in the Monkees sometimes, like even in, not in the show itself, but sometimes in Monkees literature and stuff, it's spelled different in the very beginning of the show, which is weird. Yeah. They never could decide. I like it better the way that it was M-I-C-K-Y, and that was the name of my dog. Between the Circus Boy and the Monkees, Mickey had small parts on other television shows, and he auditioned for pilots, and he was, you know, trying to get parts as a teenager in the business. So you can find him on various shows.
That's so awesome.
As a teenager, and sometimes he played like bad guys, and it's pretty cool. He was also in a band called Mickey and the One Nighters.
That was it. One night.
I love that so much. And let's see, the little British member of the group.
Don't recall.
Little guy.
Something about a teen heartthrob.
So nice. David Thomas Jones. He was a stage actor from Manchester, England. And he'd been on a British television series called Coronation Street. He lived in a little Manchester, England, and he was kind of fished out of his hometown to do this TV show, Coronation Street. After his mother died when he was 14, he became a jockey's apprentice. Because that's what he really wanted to do, is be a jockey.
Loved horses his loved whole life.
Always. And his trainer was Basil Foster, who he remained friends with for the rest of his life. And he helped support him financially, even after he died in 2012, unfortunately. Unfortunately, Davey passed in 2012, and it was a very sad day.
Yes.
Basil passed away a little more than a year after that in 2013. But Davey's jockey training was interrupted when he was chosen to play the artful Dodger in Oliver.
Huge part of who he became.
Absolutely. It's how he got here to the United States to do the Monkees. Mm-hmm. He was in this London production. And so he had to leave home and do this.
And was it, am I remembering this correctly, that wasn't he in the performance of Oliver on the Ed Sullivan Show?
He sure was.
On the night that the Beatles premiered on the Ed Sullivan Show.
The London production came to America, was on Broadway, and he was asked to be on Ed Sullivan. And that was the same day the Beatles were on. And he watched the Beatles from backstage, and he was like, that's what I want to do. That's amazing. He was also nominated for a Tony Award for his role as the Artful Dodger. It was 1964 when he was on the Ed Sullivan Show, same night as the Beatles.
And I do love the fact that we obviously spent many years seeing Davey solo shows as for over the, you know, many years before he passed. And he worked Oliver into his solo shows, which was always awesome for us. We just loved that. And he would sing different songs and do different things. And it was so cool. Just his whole background. I mean, he knows that, you know, he became famous because of the Monkees. Mm-hmm. And that was always who he was, Davy Jones, heartthrob. But, you know, he had such a life and did other things. And he incorporated that all into that. And that's what's funny to me, too, is like we were talking, the show was so funny to us. And we've seen Davey so many times, solo, and Mickey solo, and they are so funny. Like, their shows really are so funny. Granted, we heard the same jokes on normal, we still laugh. It's because it is funny. But they're super, I mean, they're just funny guys, and they
and play they ask people, like, even off stage, they're funny.
Exactly.
And Davey loved being on stage.
Yeah.
He would, I think, rather be on stage than other anything. Than riding his horses, do anything.
Right.
And when he did the, like Consider Yourself and all those Oliver songs, he was like genuinely happy up on that
looked
stage.
Like he was just having the time of his life. Yeah, that was awesome. And you could just tell he loved entertaining fans. At like it, you know, like it wasn't just his job, like, oh, this is what I have to do now. It was like you could just tell he really loved it. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome.
And he did go back to Oliver, I remember, in the 80s, playing a different character. I've never seen Oliver. So I don't know what the character was that he went back to.
It was like older guy, though.
He played an old man.
Yeah. And I feel like I know the name, but you're right. Like, I never saw it either, but I remember hearing about him doing that, so I kind of know whatever it was.
Actually, I remember pictures from magazines, like Teen Beat and stuff.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, is that why I know?
Which is so funny, because he was about the age that I am now, and he was wearing, like, old man makeup, and he was playing.
I'm an old man.
Yeah. Got it? I'm an old man.
40.
So there's one more member of the Monkees that we have to talk about.
We get to talk about.
Peter Halston Torkelson. Peter Tork.
Known as Peter Tork.
Because who wants to say Torkelson? That's a long name.
That is a long name.
His father was a professor. Peter was part of the Greenwich Village music folk scene. Mm-hmm. He was a very folksy guy, and he wanted to be a folk singer. Mm-hmm. He was a folk singer. Super awesome on the banjo. Banjo is like my favorite stringed instrument. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I just love it so much. And he's really good on
it. He's awesome.
He auditioned for the Monkees through a referral by his friend Stephen Stills.
Yeah.
Who had been turned down because he was too scruffy. And Peter says that they told Stephen they liked him. But did he have a friend who looked just like him? Because he wasn't what they were looking for. So he's so like, I know this guy, Peter. So he brought him over. Peter auditioned. He got the part. Stephen Stills was in the band Buffalo Springfield. So obviously he did fine without the Monkees. Everything turned out fine for Stephen Stills. He was also later in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yes.
Peter was briefly part of a folk group called the Mugwumps, who would later become the Mamas and the Papas.
Mamas and the Papas. Everybody knows the Mamas and the Papas.
Yeah, so you can find a lot of pictures of him and Mama Cass and Michelle and all those people. People like to say that these people were not legitimate musicians, but they were.
Right.
They had a balance. I don't know. I can't say how they chose these four guys, but they had a balance. Mm-hmm. They had the cute guy, the funny guy, the dumb guy, and the leader, supposedly, you know.
Right.
They had two legitimate musicians.
Yeah.
And two sort of musicians.
Kind of
two
singers. More actors.
Yeah.
Slash two musicians. Actors, and yeah.
Two performers and two musicians.
Two musicians. And Peter, yeah, really, Mike and Peter wrote a lot of songs and did a lot of that early on. You know, they were very serious about being musicians, more so, I think. You know, Dave and Mickey, definitely same thing, but they were also very comfortable, I think, being kind of like actors and doing that whole spiel.
Yeah, because Dave and Mickey were trained to show up and do their job that they were asked to do.
Yeah.
And Mike and Peter were trying to get their creativity out there, and Mike wanted to be able to write songs, and he even petitioned to get Peter's songs on there.
Right.
So he was the reason that some of Peter's songs got onto the album, because Mike didn't think it was fair to not have any creative input.
Yeah. And that was just a big thing for them. I mean, that's, you know, having read to Mike's most recent autobiography, it's just like reading that, oh yeah, trying to, I mean, he really was trying to make it. They moved to California when he was, what, 20, and Phyllis was pregnant, and they just like struggled to make ends meet. So he was like playing in bars and doing different things, and, you know, the Monkees was his big break, and, you know, and then it turned into, you know, like he refers to it like as a job, and but he really wanted, I mean, he really wanted the music side of things. And it just, you know, parts of that didn't go their way. But, yeah, I mean, and thank God for all of them, though, like, launched them all into their careers. And everybody has made their own path because of it, so.
Yeah, there's nothing illegitimate about the Monkees as a group. It's a good TV show. There are TV shows, maybe not as much at that time, but there are definitely everywhere now TV shows that are simply a marketing thing.
Right.
You know, we want to sell albums and we want to sell t-shirts and, you know, games and everything. People just didn't like it at that time that that's what was going on, because they didn't know that that's how the industry is.
Exactly.
People weren't aware.
And it was a little ahead of its time, too, just thinking TV shows in the 60s. For young guys living by themselves with no chaperones. They all have long hair.
You know,
there's so
weirdos.
Many of the things that went on then. Same, you know, it was like we're still in a very, at that time, you know, there was a lot of strictness in life. And just people who looked at that and thought, oh, you know, again, we talk about long-haired weirdos. You know, that's I think, how people looked at it, like, oh, why would I watch that? Yeah. That just looks ridiculous.
And they bring that up all the time on the show. They're like, oh, we're dangerous. We're long-haired weirdos. What is your favorite episode of The Monkees?
Oh, my God.
Do you have one?
How can I even choose a favorite episode?
I know, it's so hard. It fluctuates. You can't.
I mean, there's so many I would have to think. Like, yeah, I really can't come up with. I just know certain, you know, a certain moment, certain scenes, certain different things. I just, like, love, love, love. Yeah.
Well, my favorite is the fairy tale episode.
Oh, yeah.
Although, it goes back and forth. Like, sometimes it's the Frodo's Caper, and sometimes it, like, they all have their own merit. But also, there's a lot of different themes. Some of the episodes are kind of copies of the other episodes. Like, there's formula episodes, but then there's episodes that are totally out of the box.
Right.
Like, when they went to Paris, and the fairy tale episode, and those kinds. I love the fairy tale.
Now that you just said that, I'm like, oh my God, now I gotta watch it.
I watched it the other day.
Oh my gosh, there's just too many. I know. You're like, there's the heartfelt moments where they get real serious, but then there's all the funny stuff, and there's always like, you know, Davey always falls in love with some woman every episode or whatever. Just lots of stuff.
The fun part of this show though was that they could go anywhere. They like, they were always on somebody else's soundstage. Mm-hmm. They didn't have, they had the set for, they had a couple of sets. Like, they had the set for the beach house, and they had the restaurant that was always a restaurant or a club or a dining hall or something else. But then they could just go all around the studio backlot and film anywhere, because that's the kind of show that they had.
Right.
They could break the fourth wall. They could use the same actor like a billion times different roles. I mean, Rose Marie was on the show twice as two different characters. She's not a generic person. She was two different people. And it was fun. And it, there was like no rules. And it, because of that, like them just playing around all over the place, it felt like they were just playing.
Yeah.
Like, really, they were just fooling around all the time.
It really seemed like a lot. And as we've gotten older, just like they just got to run around and do whatever they want. And someone was filming.
Yes.
And it just turned into, oh, here, then let's just splice this up and make a TV show out of it.
And I that's how we could run around our neighborhood playing the monkeys.
We could.
Because we're just like the monkeys. We're running around. We're having a romp. We're doing whatever we feel like. And it doesn't matter. There's no rules.
This is the exact show.
Oh, such a good show.
I know. Love it. Love it. Love it. Shaped who we are as people.
Do you relate to any of the monkey's characters more than any others? It doesn't have to be a monkey.
Well, let's just talk about the fact, I mean, you know, Mike is my, Mike has been my boyfriend since I was a young child.
I'm so happy for you.
But Mike is very much like, he's kind of the leader. He seems to be like the guy who's in charge a little bit more than the others. And I guess I've always been that person, I feel like, in my life, in any situation. I'm always the one who wants to be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And I just take over because I'm very type A, and I'm very like, okay, we're going to do this. So kind of not, because he was still quirky on the show, especially as a character there.
You're kind of quirky.
But yeah, and I'm a little quirky too. So yeah, definitely Mike. I just, yeah. How about you?
Well, I guess if we're going to relate to a monkey, it would be... it would be Davey, because I always have stars in my eyes. I was the kid with stars in my eyes all the time.
There you go.
I just,
also Mike's the tallest, I think.
That that's true.
And Davey's the shortest.
And I'm always our group the shortest. Friends, yeah, that's true. Oh my goodness.
Hey, are we? Is our group of friends the monkeys?
Oh my goodness. We are. We might be.
We might just be.
Anything else you want to say about our four favorite guys?
Oh, man, how could I say anything more than what we already talked about?
Just I think again, so many people are, like, relieved that we finally got to our favorite show.
I know. They're probably like, oh, these girls talk about them all the time. And especially anybody out there who never watched the show, doesn't really know a lot about the monkeys. Maybe you know a little bit. And if you love, you know, all these old TV shows, like I assume you do if you're listening to us, maybe you did watch it, but you don't, you didn't know it from our perspective. Like you watched it and you thought, oh, this is kind of a fun TV show at the end.
We'll have to do our favorite episodes of the monkeys because
that might take a while.
We'll have to watch a bunch, but don't worry, because I have the show on Blu-ray, DVD, and VHS.
Yes.
So whichever of those formats you need.
Yes, we'll cover it. I will borrow some from you and I will watch them again for the 472nd time.
Again and again and again.
Yeah.
There's things I forgot about, like not really forgot about, but just put in the back of my mind. And then when I see it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I love this so much.
Same thing. And even just now when you mentioned like fairy tale episode, I'm like, oh my God,
that's a great episode. Such a good one. That's the one where Mike dresses up like a woman.
That's the big one. Man, you better get me out of here. You're in big trouble.
Let's wrap up the monkeys.
Wrap it up.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love it if you would leave a review and also follow us on Facebook. Be sure to tune in next week for more TV tangents.
Ba-dum-bum.
Here we go, walking down the street. We got the funniest looks, mom. Everybody meet.